morning, everybody.
Well, morning.
Welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group at Wings Christian Fellowship. Today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now, last week we started chapter 9, but we had some problems that made it impossible for us to post it. So we're going to start I'd like to just read through chapter 9 from the 1st to the 15th, just to kind of recap quickly what we talked about last week, and then go on in depth to the rest of the chapter. And for that, since we've already had, we're going to put the second half on Brenda and Buddy, I think I'll go ahead and ask Mike. Mike is going to read out of the Message Bible, the first
well,
half.
I better go get it.
What do you got there? Read
I'll go get it. Don't worry.
Okay, well, how's everybody's week been?
Been good.
Well, in the meantime, I should say that our pastor, and you know, it's kind of ironic that the chapter we are talking about is talking about how we should treat those who give their lives for us, you know, who give their lives to shepherding us and teaching us and edifying us. And Pastor Oscar and his wife Margaret are on a well-deserved vacation down in Florida, soaking up the sun or whatever that is they do down there. It's been so long, I forget. Oscar, if you are listening, I hope you're having a blessed, wonderful day, and the rest of us are here. We're going to probably talk about
you,
because this is all about you today. Okay, so Mike, have you got it there, honey?
No.
1 Corinthians, chapter 9. As well.
Good, this is big print. I can see it.
And just go from the beginning to verse 15. That's as far as we got last week.
We're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for being able to gather together just to glorify you, O Father. And Father, we just thank you for the week we've had, because in all things we have learned and grown. So we ask, O God, that in this gathering together, this class, that you be glorified, Lord, and that you speak to us, and that we learn of what you have and the plans and purpose you have for each of our lives and our families. We thank you for those that aren't here, that you bless them, Lord, and we just commit all things into your hands, that you be glorified this day. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Mike.
Okay, and don't tell me that I have no authority to write that like this. I'm perfectly free to do this. Isn't that obvious? Haven't I been given a job to do? Wasn't I commissioned to this work in a face-to-face meeting with Jesus our Master? Aren't you yourselves proof of the good work that I've done for the Master? Even if no one else admits the authority of my commission, you can't deny it. Why, my work with you is living proof of my authority. I'm not shy in standing up to my critics. We who are on a missionary assignments for God have a right to decent accommodations, and we have a right to support for us and our families. We don't seem to have raised questions with the other apostles and our master's brothers and Peter in these matters. So why me? Is it just Barnabas and I who have to go it alone and pay our own way? Are soldiers self-employed? Are gardeners forbidden to eat vegetables from their own gardens? Don't milkmaids get to drink their fill from the pail? I'm not just sounding off because I'm irritated. This is all written in the scriptural law Moses wrote. Don't muzzle an ox to keep it from eating the grain when it's threshing. Do you think Moses' primary concern was the care of farm animals? Don't you think his concern extends to us? Of course, farmers plow and thresh, expecting something when the crop comes in. So if we had planted spiritual seed among you, is it out of line to expect a meal or two from you? Others demand plenty from you in these ways. Don't we who have never demanded deserve even more? But we're not going to start demanding now what we've always had, what we've always had a perfect right to. Our decision all along is to put up with anything rather than get in the way or detract from the message of Christ. All I'm concerned with right now is that you not use your decision to take advantage of others, depriving them of what is rightly theirs. You know, don't you, that it's always been taken for granted that those who work in the temple live off the proceeds of the temple, and those who offer sacrifice at the altar eat their meals from what has been sacrificed. Along the same lines, the Master directed that those who spread the message be supported by those who believe the message.
That's good. Wait.
To me, I like to read here this very first couple of first and second. He's got, there's an attitude in this one that's not in that one. Mm-hmm. I think that somehow I think there was a little bit softer attitude in Paul than was in the way that it was written in the message. It says, "Am I not completely free and unrestrained?" Absolutely, he says. "Am I not an apostle?" Of course. It's like he's asking these questions, not as though you are not believing it, as though you're as though you don't believe this. He knows he's talking to his friends and the people that he has come to give them life. And he says, "Am I not an apostle?" Of course. Haven't I had a personal encounter with our Jesus face to face? And don't I continue to see him? Emphatically, yes. So he's saying, I know that.
What translation is that? That's good.
That's the Passion. I love the Passion translation.
Good.
And he says, he's saying, I know you know these things. And in that translation, it kind of seems like he's, I'm trying to tell you these things so you'll know it. I think he knows he's talking to people who love him with all their heart and understand that. And then he says, aren't you all the proof of my ministry in the Lord? I have nothing to prove. You are my proof. It's just like Christ saying, you are my great and exceeding reward.
Mm-hmm.
Paul understands that, and the people that he's touched, they understand it too. If others do not recognize me as their apostle, at least you are bound to do so, for now your lives are joined to the Lord. I think that's just great. Mm-hmm. You are my living proof, the certificate of my apostleship. Very loving kind of an attitude. And then down in 15 he says all these other things that he has a right to, just like all of the other apostles. And keep in mind, he says in 15, that I'm not writing all of this because I'm hinting that you should support me. It would be the last thing in the world. And that's as far as we got last week. So with all that said, does anybody want to just kind of talk to any of that, or should we go on to 16 and just keep on going? Debbie, what do you think?
Go.
Niece.
Go on.
Welcome.
Please say something.
Okay, then let's take that Amplified Bible and choose a victim, either Brenda or Buddy, to read.
I guess it's my turn.
let's just go down to 24. Let's just not go all the way to the end, because that's usually a lot to read in the Amplified.
You're starting with 16?
16 to 24.
Well, if I merely preach the gospel, that gives me no reason to boast, for I feel compelled of necessity to do it. Woe is me if I do not preach the glad tidings, the gospel. For if I do this work of my own free will, then I have my pay, my reward. But if it is not of my own will, but is done reluctantly and under compulsion, I am still entrusted with a sacred trusteeship and commission. What then is the actual reward that I get? Just this, that in my preaching the good news, the gospel, I may offer it absolutely free of expense to anybody, not taking any advantage of my rights and privileges as a preacher of the gospel. For although I am free in every way from anybody's control, I have made myself a bondservant to everyone so that I might gain the more for Christ. To the Jews I became a Jew, that I may win Jews. To men under the law I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those without outside law I became as one out without law, and not that I am without the law of God and lawless toward him, but that I am especially keeping within and committed to the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, wanting in discernment, I have become weak, wanting in discernment that I might win the weak and over superless. I have in short become all things to all men, that I might by all means, at all costs, and in every way, save some by winning them to faith in Jesus Christ. And I do this for the sake of the good news, the gospel, in order that I may become a participator in it and share in its blessings along with you. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives a prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it ours. Now every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temporarily and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessings that cannot wither. Is that where I'm supposed to stop?
Couple back, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah, 24.
But there's only two or three more verses. So mm-hmm. Anyway, I think that is lovely, and it kind of gives you more the how Paul feels about what he's doing. And the one word that jumped out at me while Buddy was reading, it's not in the translation that I read, but a bondservant. Mm-hmm. And that is that the word that it was, Buddy, a bondservant?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a love servant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and I think that was Paul saying, I'm a slave to Christ Jesus. And he puts me under, you know, teachers. And then when I've been set free, because I love him so much, I say, Father, where will I go? Who else could I go to? And so I stay a servant of my own free will. And that's a wonderful personality trait for a person who's going to live the lifestyle of a teacher, a preacher, an apostle, a pastor. Because if you come into it thinking, what can I get out of it? And you are thinking of yourself as nothing more, as more than just a bondservant.
Well, he stays here where he brings himself down to the level of,
yes,
you know, those who are Jews and those who are, you know, without the law. And so he puts himself on a level of the people that he's around and that he's preaching to.
I love that.
Yeah, that he becomes, I don't know, but he becomes all things.
Yeah.
To all people,
yeah.
Yes.
Whoever he's ministering to, mm-hmm. and around, that he becomes as they are, that he may win them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's beautiful, because, you know, there's some ministers, you know, they're here, and that's,
oh, yeah.
But to be humbled and to be all things to all that we come in contact with.
That kind of puts me in mind of someone who came to our church to, you know, hold a meeting or whatever it was. And because of the sermon that he preached that night, I kind of called him aside and I said, you know, I've had a problem with this certain thing, you know. And it's been, and I kind of poured my heart and soul out to him. And his answer to me was, I've never had a problem with that. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks a lot.
That's
bye.
Not good.
Yeah, because you're not going to be understanding and have empathy with whatever you've had a problem, you know.
Yeah.
Whether you had it or not, I don't think you should say, I haven't, whether you're not. But that you would want to have
pretty
compassion
much, I'm better
for that
than
person.
And immediately put
because if you haven't had a problem in that, you've had it in something else. Because
mm-hmm.
none of us are perfect. So
and he also said, and thanks for dinner, because I took him out, we went out to, you know,
oh, yeah?
picture so I could talk to him. So. Very interesting.
Did it immediately make you feel lower then?
Oh, baby, yes. That was long before I met you.
It's probably a good idea I never met him. I like it here in this in the message where it says, I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view.
Mm.
Well, you can't, it's hard to know what's going on with someone if you don't know how, what you're thinking, what their point of view is,
mm-hmm.
why are they where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dealing with that right now.
And as well, we were watching a movie yesterday, just a show, we watch all Mark a lot, like the show, and how that, the one, the, this fellow, went on only his knowledge and from his experience, and she was gone from facts and numbers and you know that, which very well they could work together because they could
mm-hmm.
complement one
mm-hmm.
another and that. And I see that when there was someone that had talked to me that was being counseled in an addiction drug, and the person that had knowledge, book learning and all, it was good, but the one that had that plus had experienced what this person had gone through, they received more from the one that had experiences, because it's not so much what you know here, educationally, academically, but it's because you walked in my shoes and you know what I'm going through, you know what I faced and what I problems I've had, then she could identify more with the counselor
mm-hmm.
because, yeah. And they even had her do some of teaching in the class because of her experiences and what she had learned from him and not and has walked where they have walked
mm-hmm.
and wanting in some things that she's learned that would be helpful to them, I think. So I think it's that Christ would have us, like you said, to be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's no way that we can really help someone or counsel them or help them where they are. God can give us discernment and can give us what to say to them because he knows.
When you look back on the life of Paul, you see that Paul was not a perfect man,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so he could become just about all things to all people, he, you know, and he draws on that, you know, that he was a sinner among sinners, and he was, you know, a Jew among Jews, and he was a Roman among Romans, and he, you know, he... He, God had taken him in a very unusual way.
Mm.
And so God takes each one of us in our own very unusual
yes.
way.
Yes.
You know, led totally by him. And the things that we, that appear in our lives and we deal with,
mm.
that teach us, that God is in control and we, above all, are not. You know, that to me is one of the most important things about being able to help anyone else, is to realize that you are not the center of the universe. The things you've gone through are to help you to help others.
Yes.
And if, you know, and if you only see what you've gone through as, well, now I have gone through that, and I have learned through this, and I, and it's all about me, 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 you are not going to touch the empty part of that person. You are only going to turn that person off and say, oh, well, you know, he thinks he's better than I am, because he's, you know, what that can happen when you have that attitude. Attitude, there's a lot of people who say attitude is spirit. If you have a holy attitude, you have a holy spirit. You know?
I'm in trouble.
No, you're not. I can tell you that you are a wonderful, have a wonderful attitude. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
Give me a break.
Yes, I do. Nisa's a wonderful person.
She is.
So I want to know how you let the person know you've been where they are if you don't share my story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The way you were talking, it was like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
If you have not had what you, if you have not experienced what that person is experiencing, like what happened to me, I've never had a problem with that.
Oh.
Or if you have.
How do you not make it all about you? That's
oh,
what I'm saying. That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
I
feel like there'd be a fine line.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Do you remember the story that's often told in this room about the girl who wanted to commit suicide, and then when she found the Lord and got over it, then she went on to be a telephone counselor, and this girl called and said, I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm going to kill myself. And what she could do was, because, you know, a lot of it is because, and in that you have to trust that the Lord is going to bring to you the people that you can help.
Right. Yeah.
And so she said, honey, I know exactly how you feel. I have been exactly where you are. And so she starts off by making it about you.
The way you
mm-hmm.
feel.
Yeah. And here's what, you know, here's what helped me. Because you don't overcome these things by yourself. When anybody who has overcome a lot has done so by being introduced to God Almighty, those are the answers to all of our problems. Being introduced to God, being told that there is a relationship that you can have with God that is specific to you, where he can just be your daddy and love you with all of his heart and help you through all of your troubles and, you know, never let you be frightened if you trust in him with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And those kinds of things you can share with other people without making it about you, because what helped you was not you.
Right.
It was always God. And now it's God within you being able. And that comes from God. That's enough from me. Another thing that you can't do is say, do what I say, not what I do. You know? It has to come from your life, not from your mouth, from your walk.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have too much to do with being paid for, you know, for being the pastor or, you know, whatever it is. But I think that's a secondary thought of everything that's being said in here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there were a lot of people in those days that did not consider Paul to be an apostle because he was not one of the 12 apostles.
Mm-hmm.
But he was called of Christ, you know. he was called of Christ after Christ rose from the dead. Wow. Yeah. He saw the resurrected Christ. He, to me, that's one better, you know. He didn't have to worry about being an unbeliever. He saw it with his own two eyes. Thomas didn't, you know. All of the other apostles went through a time of, you know, questioning and wondering and all of that. But then they came and finally did see the resurrected Christ. Paul got it firsthand. He got knocked off of his high horse.
literally. And he's not begging them for anything. What he's really is saying, really the right that God has given to those that are giving, that they receive. You know, when he talks about the oxen, when they how they can eat of the, you know, of where they're working and eating of, and that he's saying that he probably really hated that to bring this to them, you know, because that seeing that, but God had him to do it because it's the truth that what he's out there serving God and doing. That these of us who are receiving should be taking care of him and seeing him out, you know, his needs also.
I'd like to read it out of the Message Bible, which is another one that I generally like. Okay, I think I'll start this right around. Okay.
Is that what you read without the Message?
Yeah, did I say the Message?
Yeah.
I meant the Mirror.
All right.
Mirror Bible.
All right.
I like this. So, says Paul, what's in it for me, you may ask. And then he answers, the pleasure of declaring the gospel of Christ at no expense is priceless. I think that's his attitude, you know. And so, paying a price didn't really come up until it probably was asked by the Corinthians, you know. No, I am not cheating anyone or myself by foregoing the rights I might have as a preacher. So, in a sense, I'm free from everyone's expectation. Now, here's a good word. Or management. He's not under anyone else's expectation or management. I think that was a dig at Peter, but that's just me. Yet I have voluntarily enslaved myself to all people. This beats any other motivation to influence people. I'm a Jew to the Jew to win them. I'm disguised as a legalist to win those that are stuck under the law. To the Gentiles who have no regard for Jewish sentiment, I became like one without any obligation to the Jewish laws to win them. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sinning to identify with sinners. I am in the law of Christ, which is the agape law. It is not the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. It is the agape love of Christ that he's under. I am so persuaded about every person's inclusion in Christ. Wow, that's a big statement. Mm-hmm. Every person is included in Christ. That I desire to be everything I need to be in order to win everyone's understanding of their union with Christ. I think that is an amazing statement. All are in Christ. Christ is God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And those who do not see themselves as reconciled, who do not see themselves in Christ, who might even see themselves as against Christ, just don't know who their identity is. Our identity is in Christ. We need to have the understanding of our union with Christ. I do not present myself as super strong to the weak, but rather expose myself to their weaknesses in order to win them. I do not distance myself from anyone. You know, that's easy to do. You know, in today's age, we do. There is an opportunity, I should say. I shouldn't say we do. There's an opportunity for us to distance ourselves from people who don't believe like us, from people, I mean, it's when you're thinking in the flesh and not in the spirit of our union with Christ, we can find ourselves judging, not judging people, but judging beliefs, judging behavior, judging things that do not agree with the way people should behave. You know, we got ourselves into just a ton of problems in this world by believing that women shouldn't wear pants, that women need to have long hair and put it up in a tight bun, that women should not wear. Why does all this stuff have to do with women? That women should not wear makeup. Even Jimmy Swaggart used to say every old barn could use a penny to coat of paint.
Did Brother Eddie get that from him?
Yes. Yeah. 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 Jimmy Swaggart. There are so many things that just don't amount to a hill of beans that we can distance ourselves from people. Oh, they go to movies. Oh, you know, maybe more in the past years. But even now, you know, we find ourselves distancing ourselves from people who just, they're not our kind of people. You know what I mean? I don't know what else I can say about that. Sometimes we don't. You know, we're not there yet. But when we see ourselves do it, maybe we ought to pray for ourselves and for them. Yeah. Okay, I do not distance myself from anyone. My mission is to be exactly what is required of me in every possible situation, to awaken every kind of person, whoever they are, to own their salvation. I love that. They are unaware of their salvation. Now, let me see. What does he say? He says the word every so many times in that sentence, and exactly. My mission is to be exactly what is required. So that means I can be all things to all people. In every possible situation, to awaken every kind of person, whoever they are, to own their salvation. He says, I have no other agenda. Traditionally translated, in order to save some, he says. And then this person who is doing this says, this person who is doing this transaction believes that this, he says, I do not believe that this is what Paul is saying. In other words, he says, traditionally, this is translated that I may, in order to save some. He says here that Paul is saying the word tis can also suggest every single kind. So he can, that every single kind of person who is not believing in their salvation can and eventually will understand that they are saved and that they are in Christ. So the in-Christed ones eventually will be more than they are right now. The gospel explains my lifestyle. It is so much more than a pulpit ministry to me. My life is inseparably joined to you in the fellowship of the good news.
He's willing people to so see the Christ that knows the Christ and their salvation than taking so much stock really in traditions of men. And mm-hmm. I think when you get together with some people, like you say, you want to distance yourself mm-hmm. because of their beliefs don't line up with how you believe, and they're going more by the traditions mm-hmm. of the church, mm-hmm. things that they believe in, what they preach, and that's why you don't have fellowship. If you get together and you're only exalting and glorifying the Christ,
that's right.
Then there's a oneness you can have with someone mm-hmm. instead of arguing them or not accepting
exactly.
what their belief is and what their tradition is in their church. Yes. You know, I found that out with a lot of the group of us.
That's what I was going to ask you to talk about.
And there was, and we're all from different churches, and some don't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, some do, some have, and that. But when we have come together, we've not spoken of these things. Someone has maybe shared a scripture or something, or maybe something they've gone through that God has blessed them that week and has really proved himself that week to them, and praying for the needs of others. Everybody's got someone they want, you know, to have prayer. If you come together that and exalt the Christ and share the Christ with one another, then this other stuff goes by the wayside. It's, to me,
that's
not
so
important.
When Mike and I moved to Florida, we went to a church down there, and I used to keep it well within myself that, oh, I believe so much deeper than they do, you know. But let me tell you, God really helped me learn that if you get to know people one-on-one, the Christness in them. I met women down there, and men too, as well, mm-hmm. who put my understanding of Christ in me, the hope of glory, they put that my understanding of that to shame, even though they were in a church that didn't believe exactly the way I do about, you know, mm-hmm. not, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with where each individual, God deals with us individually. And some people are a little further along, no matter where they are, as much as they've opened up and been teachable, you know, by God. I've met women there, oh my goodness, who put me to shame with their understanding, with their compassion, with, you know, the things that they went through and never let go of a trust in God. Mm-hmm. These things have nothing to do with commandments or thou shalt not. They have to do with spiritual maturity, that it matters not if you are unchurched or if you are in the most legalistic church, or, you know, God deals with each one of us individually to reveal himself as we make ourselves available to him to do that. And, you know, we also learned so much about that during those years that we got together with the church down the street in Elmwood. It was Clyde's brother's church. And when we got together with those people, they were the most loving. They were the most caring. They were every bit as much followers of Christ and in truth, you know, in truth. As we, you know.
It makes you think of when they talked about this man that was on this island, and how when the missionaries did come there to present Christ to them, they said, oh, we know him. He's been living among us, and he never preached the word. He lived it. He lived Christ before them. And this is what I know God desires each of us to do, so wherever we are, in our homes, wherever, mm-hmm. yeah, wherever we will become in contact with it.
Yeah. Anybody?
Not me.
There's a group that they're on. She's on Facebook, and she has this little post or page or verse that is women warriors against addictions. And I just happened to read it, and so I always make, I pray about comments that I make, you know, to things. And because people tell me I don't go on Facebook or anything, I look at it like a mission field to me, because if someone posts or they have a need and they ask for prayer, sometimes I will pray right and write the prayer out right as I'm doing it, as God gives it to me. And she wants me to, she wants to talk to me personally. She's in, I thought she's in a southern state, I forget which we're at, because, and she reads out of this book, Jesus Calling. And I have that because of a sudden I said, I think I got that book, and I do because some pastor's wife, when she was in a nursing home, when I came to visit her, she was reading this page to me. She was so excited when God was speaking to her out of there. I don't even remember where I bought it, well, but I remember getting it. And she says, good morning, ladies, and that. She, every day she posts, shows a picture of the page so you can read it. And then she tells, she's like 320 days sober. And then, and people may come, and then she was needing a job and wanted us, you know, and everybody was praying. And everybody, they're from different states and all, that make a comment. And she and I was talking, you know, I pray about what to put, you know, what to say about different things and what scripture. And usually, and God has really given me something to share, you know, that way. Because she's asked me, she's makes comment back to the different ones. And she said she wanted to meet me. She said, I want to talk to you on the phone. I want to hear your story, you know, because she is too. And that. And I said, and see, no one is speaking of any doctrine, anything. They're speaking out of their hearts, where they are, what needs they have, and what, and some of them probably don't have an addiction, because I said something to my granddaughter, said someone, I said, she said, why did you send me that? I said, I wasn't sending you that about the addiction, I was sending you that because of the page. Read the page and see what it says. That's what I was sharing with you, not that I considered you had, because all of us have some addiction to something, I believe.
Amen.
That we have some weakness that we're needing God in, that's for sure.
When I was 5 years old, I used to hide in the cellar and eat raw potatoes. My first addiction.
Did you like them?
Oh, yeah.
Was that a no-no?
Oh, my mother did not care for me doing that. You know, it was the hiding. And the, yeah, I didn't care if she liked it or not, and I was five.
I'm having my potato.
It's starchy and, you know, and sugar has been, a, you know. Anyway, this is not just what I was going to say was Jesus Calling very seldom ever hits on any doctrine. And it made me, what do you guys think about? Do you think that doctrine is another word for commandment or
law
or judgment? And aren't we not to judge and eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil and deciding good and evil? Sometimes I think the doctrine, I guess it says that, doesn't it? The doctrines of men make the word of God an effect.
It's a divider.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of, Clyde tells that story about his brother saying, I have a problem with commandment number, whatever it was. And Clyde goes, there's only two. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Which one of those do you have a problem with?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Kind of frees you from the law.
That's why they call it
indoctrination. All right, Mike says that's why they call it indoctrination.
And it's control. Yes. It's control.
Yes.
It's
indoctrinating.
Yes.
Well, the lady that was saying how many days she had been sober, it's like, I don't have the problem with that, but how many days have I been kind?
You know, that's wonderful. That's a good word. How many days have I been unkind?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be unkind in your head without
I hear
you
thoughts.
Can.
Your thoughts. Really, see our thoughts are like this. Thoughts. And, oh yeah.
Good thing we don't have those bubbles going out.
Oh my goodness! I was like, so what's the thing? Oh,
what a stupid
joke. Guess what? People can read your face. You don't have to say it.
Really? You know, that is so strange because I had a dream last night, Mike. I mean, I was fighting, and Mike had to wake me up, that all my girlfriends...
You didn't wake up.
I know. I woke up enough to realize you were smacking me.
That's because I thought I was going to get slugged.
And these were girls from my youth. Girlfriends from high school. Anyway, they were like talking amongst themselves, and I was trying to input, you know, input. And every time I did, they ignored me, their eyes and turned their heads, you know, and I couldn't
get through.
I couldn't get through to become a part of them. And finally, I mean, I was crying, and I just didn't want to be there anymore. And it was, they weren't saying anything, but they weren't letting me in. And then pretty soon, I could kind of feel, this girl actually turned around and said to me what she was thinking inside. Well, you are just a stupid, crazy person. You know, or did you see her? She's just a stupid, crazy person. I thought, oh my gosh, and I just started crying. I started fighting. I am not a stupid person. So much for my dream of the night. I tell my dreams
a lot.
It was
good not being accepted.
It
and
was.
Being, and being
it
rejected.
Was so...
Do you know where that came from?
You.
Oh, you read my face.
I don't know. I would have to stop and think.
Yeah.
You know.
Somewhere deep.
Don't worry. That's
somewhere deep, yeah. Well, that's...
And it could have been something that happened that stirred that, brought that forward. You know, something maybe happened that day.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That seemed timely. I dream all the time.
Yeah.
Not about you. But
yeah.
I dream. And I said, oh, Lord.
Whether asleep or awake?
No.
Oh, you mean
when
you're asleep.
I
do too.
And I know if it's something that God has given me, mm-hmm. speaking something to me,
mm-hmm.
and if it's not, it has to be in my subconscious,
mm-hmm.
that I am worried about or concerned about or something, mm-hmm. you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I always dream. They say when you first awaken, then lay there, don't get up, and then if you're quiet enough, then God will give you interpretation if it's something that He speaks to, or for some fear or something that you're going through, you know. But
I usually get called out in real life. Like, I mean, the Lord speaks to me when if I say something that I, you know, after I've said it, it's like, oh, that wasn't very whatever.
Uplifting.
Yes. Or He'll just say, what about you?
Well,
you do the same thing. Hello.
Niece's ending word for almost anything she ever says is sorry. Pre-forgiveness. Would you like some dinner? Sorry.
Where does that come from?
No, I do think it has something to do with the relationship that I have with you girls. That is so accepting and so loving. And by contrast, I was thinking back to all those years where I couldn't feel a part of a clique,
mm-hmm.
like Mech in high school. It was very difficult to be accepted. Mm-hmm. You know why it's hard to feel accepted when you're immature? Because you don't accept yourself.
Right.
When you accept mm-hmm. yourself, you just go through life and you're accepted because you accept yourself, and if somebody doesn't accept what you're saying, it's not of a big consequence to you as it was before. You used to find your identity in someone else. Now we find our identity in Christ and Christ in us. It's a wonderful, pleasant simple, you know, way of life. Life has become so much simpler.
And it's a release of the burden of caring, yeah, caring what others think about you.
So, yeah, caring so much, yeah, even caring more than what you think, and uh-huh, sometimes caring more than what God thinks, yeah, you know. Interesting. Well, I guess we haven't really talked too much about getting paid to preach, but I'm going to pass the basket. No preaching goes on in here. All we do in here is share.
Share the Lord.
So, how? Who would like to close in prayer? Used to open in prayer. Would somebody like to volunteer?
Niece wants me to do it. Father, we do thank you for this group. We thank you for the love that's shared here in your word. And Lord, just help us to absorb it and live it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.